Today's sales professionals are challenged to establish trusting relationships with the right prospects. They face buyers that choose to self-educate and not engage with a salesperson until they're ready to begin the buying process. With social selling, sales professionals use social networks and digital content to build their professional brand, their company's brand, and create experiences that enable buyers to buy. Welcome to the Linking into Sales podcast, the social selling podcast hosted by Martin Brossman and Greg Heyer. Let's start Linking into Sales.
Welcome to Linking into Sales. This is Martin Brossman
and Greg Heyer, and welcome to episode number 74. We're getting kind of good at this. We're getting a little bit more consistent. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope so.
So, let's go into, what we're going to be a little bit about what we're going to be covering today. First, we're going to be bringing on a guest a little
very
bit later,
exciting.
And we're very excited about having her join us and talk about the LinkedIn Social Selling Index score. Yeah. LinkedIn Sales Connect kind of wrapped up a little bit and just a couple of days ago, or actually just yesterday, and they talk a lot about Sales Connect and how now you could take a look and see how effective you are on LinkedIn social selling platform, as well as they're integrating it into Sales Navigator, which is kind of cool. So we'll get to that in just a minute, but we got some social selling news. Dun, dun,
dun. That's right.
All right. So first thing is LinkedIn Groups is going to be going through some significant changes over the next few weeks. Anyone who is the owner of a group got a notification saying some of the changes are going to be happening. One thing in particular is going to be changing that everyone is kind of a little antsy about is that all groups are going to be private from now on, unless you want them to be public. And then the group owners have to actually go in and change the groups to be public. But what's different about these public and unpublic groups is that the unpublic ones, they will no longer appear in search. They will no longer appear on Google. They will no longer appear anywhere but within the LinkedIn platform. They actually won't even show up in search inside the LinkedIn platform. And in order to join one of those groups, you have to be recommended by one of the members of those groups. So
it's all or nothing.
So either you turn it off or you turn it on. So the old way of moderating moderating members who are coming into the group, or even the content that's being published to the group, it's all going away. So expect some big changes coming to groups. It has a lot of group owners actually very, very confused about what is happening. But I think that what LinkedIn is seeing is that there's a proliferation of spam that goes on inside of LinkedIn groups, and they're really trying to reduce that and bring some true value back to groups. So we'll see how that works out. By the way, speaking of groups, if you're not a member of our Linking into Sales group on LinkedIn, please just do a search for before it disappears from search, and they can come in and find us. You can go to our company page on LinkedIn and find it from there as well. Next thing, real quick, is the LinkedIn class action lawsuit.
Did you get an email?
Did you get your email? So there's an email. I think it came from like legal@linkedin.com or classactionlawsuit@linkedin.com. It was sent out on a late Friday afternoon, the best time to deliver bad news, because the press can't react to it because they're all off on the weekends. And they basically had mentioned the class action lawsuit was about how LinkedIn sent too much email. And yes, they are. I can imagine what their bill looks like for email. But they had so basically in the class action lawsuit, if you had used LinkedIn during a certain period of time, you may be entitled to some money. So go back, look through a couple. I think it came out just like a couple of weeks ago, but it came from LinkedIn. Read through it, and if you can find the link to where you can go and and put in your claim or decide not to file a claim.
Either way,
if you could find it, go ahead, go forth and conquer. I'm going to actually put myself into it just to go through the experience and see what. See what money might be coming back. But it's like a $13 million class action lawsuit. And if enough people file claims, then LinkedIn will throw in another bucket of money. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. But something to keep in mind, those class action lawsuits, they are a way that you can get at least a dollar back, I think.
So. Yeah, and it was just a wake-up call for LinkedIn to just make sure they have full permission before they start emailing people.
Exactly.
I think they learned the lesson and moving on with that.
That's right. The last thing I just want to mention that I mentioned just a few minutes ago is that LinkedIn Sales Connect had just wrapped up. If you were able to, you should have been, if you subscribe to the LinkedIn sales channel or the LinkedIn selling channel on YouTube, you may have gotten notification from LinkedIn that they were streaming this event. So even if you weren't able to go, You could still watch some of the sessions on YouTube. And that was kind of cool because I got I sat through a couple of them and some really, really good engaging conversations. There were a few empty seats in the house, so maybe 2016 that might be something to shoot for, to get out there. But we had a couple local folks who actually showed up for their top being in the top 10 at the conference for their social selling index score, which is awesome. So we had Lindsay Boggs from Smarter HQ, and then Courtney Friedman from SAS, and then also a friend of the show who has been friendly nicknamed the Alec Baldwin of in reference to SNL showing up how many times on the Linking the Sales podcast. Kevin Thomas Tully showed up in the top 10, and we'll have him on the show in just a few weeks to come back again and talk about his experience.
And our sponsor at NC State Technology Training Solutions.
So let's go and run through real quick. We have we definitely want to mention NC State. Thank you very much for Technology Training Solutions for sponsoring our podcast and allowing us to use their space to do some recording, which is what you see behind us. So if you are looking, if you're in the Triangle area, the greater Raleigh area, and if you're looking for an opportunity to earn some additional continuing education credits to get some updated knowledge on using Excel or other Office products, or what about Adobe Creative Suite or
Social Selling with LinkedIn?
Social Selling with LinkedIn.
That's a great or question. Social Media Management.
And if you want your Social Media Management certificate, definitely. The Technology Training Solutions over here at NC State is a great nonprofit department of the McKimmon Center that will help you with achieving your education goals and help you earn some continuing education credits too. So thank you very much. And we will have a link in our show notes, but you can check them out just by going to linkingintosales.com/NCSU. That's North Carolina State University, NCSU TTS, Technology Training Solutions. So we'll put the link in the show notes if you want to check it out and see what classes that they have.
Now the moment for our exciting guest.
Absolutely. So coming all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, via Russia, somewhere in Russia, we have, we'll find that out because we're going to get it out of her. we'd like to introduce Anna Stevens, who is a digital marketing ninja and a true LinkedIn evangelist. She has helped many business people harness the power of LinkedIn, including doctors, attorneys, real estate agents, franchisers, insurance agents, consultants, and the corporate Salesforce teams. Anna is originally from Russia, where she had earned her law degree. She has lived in Atlanta for the last 7 years, earned her MBA from Georgia State University. She has started practicing social selling on LinkedIn back in 2011. And was interviewed on All News Atlanta for her effective LinkedIn strategies that deliver business results. She is also an award-winning author of a goal-setting book called Turn Your Dreams and Wants into Achievable Smart Goals. Welcome, Anna Stevens.
Hey!
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And also, she is now a contributor to our blog over at linkingintosales.com. Yep. So thank you very much for your recent article.
Yeah, excellent. And such a good topic today that we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love you guys. I started listening to you. I'm sorry. I just said it like, yes. Well, it's true. I think you guys deliver so much value, and it's so timely, and the topics you discuss are extremely helpful to the sales professionals, because I see that today sales professionals are left in kind of like this hole that maybe possibly their management realizes that they need to start putting information out there on LinkedIn, but they don't provide the training, and so salespeople are left kind of not knowing which way to turn and what to do and where to go. And while they may have high goals, the how to and also the why is not explained except the what. So you guys truly deliver the value in the city. And when I started listening to your podcast, I was like, oh my God, this is it. I want to help these guys. I want to be a part of it. This is so tomorrow. This is innovative. And I've been teaching LinkedIn since 2011. And I see just how you will soon take off because all the world needs your help.
Thank you. Thank you.
We definitely appreciate that. And thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Even if you are a brand new listener to it, I know you're going to go back through all previous 73 episodes.
Absolutely.
And then you'll need help to get a life because you had none because you heard all of them, 72. We have some selected ones you can start with to begin with.
Exactly. There's
some. Well, I listened to many of them. I listened to many, maybe 15, 20 podcasts.
Oh, my goodness.
Already.
Oh, we're so flattered. That's awesome. Great. Yeah. That's great. Social Selling Index on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's to me really something exciting to talk about. You know, is it a mandatory thing to do? Is it a lead generation for LinkedIn? You know, what looking at it from several perspectives is things we want to do with you today and get the conversation going. And then, of course, hopefully extend it in the comment area ongoingly after this.
Absolutely. So Social Selling Index has actually been launched publicly by LinkedIn very recently. And today, everybody can go to a special LinkedIn URL and they can check out their Social Selling Index. So why worry about it? Well, Social Selling Index represents how well you're doing in four areas which LinkedIn thinks contribute to your lead generation. So what are these areas? Number one, how will you build your professional brand on LinkedIn? Number two, how will you engage with insights? So with the content from polls, for example, right? How will you find the right people? Are you using advanced search and research tools on LinkedIn? And number four, how will you build relationships? Because sales is all about lead generation, following up with leads, nurturing leads, and closing the business, right? So lead generation is all about relationship building. And relationship building is not an event. It's a process that takes time. And that's why LinkedIn decided, okay, so in these four areas, if you excel, you will be able to successfully generate leads and, you know, find new business, close new business, delight your customers, stay in touch, constantly be top of mind for them, and prosper in that way. Interestingly, LinkedIn itself noticed that their sales team, among their salespeople, those sales reps who had a Social Selling Index higher than 90 were three times more likely to make the president's club.
Very interesting. Yeah. Interesting. And I've never made President's Club, and because like where I worked had a President's Club, but it may have been like, yeah, let's go hang out in the bathroom and brag about how we just sold something.
That's right.
But that's interesting because we've been doing this since about 2009, and I think that hearing the results actually come out of it, where those who are active in social selling on LinkedIn in particular, it's good to see that the successful people that are using social selling are actually achieving these incredible results and far beyond what people who are doing the traditional sales approach of pounding the phones and making those phone calls. It's great to see. And then to see LinkedIn actually kind of isolate what you need to do into these four areas, what they're referring to as the four pillars, right?
Right, absolutely. And so I know one question you wanted to discuss today is basically, is Social Selling Index a vanity metric, right? Mm-hmm. So a vanity metric is something that looks good on paper, but really doesn't contribute to our revenue or real results that we can measure. But how many people, I cannot tell you, came to me and said, I think I'm doing well with LinkedIn. I have 400 connections. And so before there was really no way of not just measuring how well you're doing, but also figuring out, well, yes, I do want to be active on LinkedIn, but what do I do? What actually matters when it comes to LinkedIn and my lead generation on LinkedIn? Well, now it's no longer a secret. So now LinkedIn communicates very clearly to us in a very specific way what things we can do, what actions we can take, what workflows we can build for our daily, weekly, monthly prospecting, right? Or following up with our existing prospects that will contribute to our success. And so let's say, for example, One statistic that I recently shared in the article for you guys that I wrote is that 92% of B2B buyers today engage with sales professionals who are known as industry thought leaders. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you establish yourself as a thought leader? Well, you publish content for free on LinkedIn, right? Through LinkedIn Publishing. And I'm not talking about the content where you share a short quote and people go there and they're so disappointed and they think, wow, you don't even know how to use LinkedIn. And I'm not talking about publishing content through LinkedIn Publishing. That is all salesy. Look at me, go download my stuff, buy from me. You know, self-serving. I am talking about the value-added content, the where you have complete clarity about your buyer persona, their buyer's journey, and you create content that delivers value to them, that serves them in some way. Because it takes 7 touches in marketing for me to even start thinking about doing business with you. And if the touches you make with me are all about you, I'm not interested. I'm sorry. But if they are about me and the pain that I have, you have complete understanding of, and how you solve my pain, that you're going to just stay top of my mind. And when time comes and it's, you know, it's a good time for me to start thinking about vendors and whom I'm going to choose to solve this problem I have and to create that change. You're going to be top of mind for me and I will do business with you, but not if you constantly are self-serving, you know, publishing content that really doesn't matter to me as your buyer persona. Mm-hmm. So that's just one aspect in which we can say definitely social selling index is not a vanity metric. It's a metric that matters, and we have today to ensure that social selling index is embedded into how we evaluate and assess the performance of our sales team. And also how well we guide and train them on how to network on LinkedIn, what to do on a regular basis to increase their visibility, generate new leads, follow up with clients, and stay top of mind.
You know, you brought up a good point on this because when I talk to someone in sales and they go, oh, yeah, I have a LinkedIn profile and I have so many people on it, I just know from the tone of their voice how bad their profile is going to look when I look at it. And with this indicator, I don't have to spell it out. I go, well, just go ahead and run this test. And this gives a powerful mirror, or at least a mirror for them to start to realize how either they're not on the court or to what degree they're not on the court, which is something that we've done manually talking to people in sales that they can now do themselves and evaluate. And one of my favorite stories in training is after we teach it, I'd say, now that you've learned what a profile looks like, imagine your LinkedIn profile represents you and how well dressed you are. And then we'll ask the classroom how well dressed you are. And someone will raise their hand and go, I just walked out of the house in my underwear. I need to upgrade my LinkedIn profile. So this is another perspective of its value you brought up, is as a mirror for the individual salesperson to check themselves out and go, wait a second, no wonder I'm not getting results. I'm not actively utilizing it well. And I think that alone is a good enough to just get going. I mean, clearly at the end of the process, they invite you to use their system, but it's not required. So this is a pretty, to me, an ethic. If it's used as a LinkedIn lead generation system, it's a great example of an ethical one that you can take or leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what I will say is, recently I worked with a corporation, international corporation, that makes almost $1 billion in revenue annual, right? And I found out that the majority of salespeople there have LinkedIn profiles that are not even public, number one, so they don't appear in search. And the second thing you mentioned is that people discover they're not as active as they would like to be. It's not the activity. It's not the activity that matters. It's the productivity of your activity. So I heard stories like, I start seeing like salespeople post stuff that just doesn't make sense. And in fact, sometimes may even be considered inappropriate or even obnoxious. And you ask them, hey, why did you do it? And they say, well, my sales manager told me we are about to launch this new thing, or this is happening. And they said, go get that information out there on LinkedIn. No, yes. It's organizations today that have to come together, embed LinkedIn social selling index into how they evaluate their teams, ensure that they change the way sales teams think about the benefits of LinkedIn. It's not about an individual salesperson anymore. It's about the benefit of the sales team. So then there must be metrics in place to create that team thinking that, you know, if a team is using LinkedIn Sales Navigator, they cannot benefit as much from it as if they were using Team Link in Sales Navigator. But the reason why you would be sharing your contacts through Team Link on LinkedIn Sales Navigator is because the metrics upon which you are evaluated are adjusted accordingly, right? Otherwise, why would I share my connections with you?
You know, it gets back to the old habit of thinking in terms of sales being driven by how many times we can interrupt the customer to attempting to develop a conversation that they would want to be part of. And that's where that sales management thing is just push it out on LinkedIn. Everyone needs to get this out so they all find out, which of course gets us to look for the little hide button so they don't know we're hiding their content.
Exactly.
And we've ignored them 3 months ago, and they wonder, well, I'm putting it out, but no one's paying attention. Well, you're not present. If I put a picture of myself on the wall with a conversation, how many people do I expect to walk up and talk to it that are mentally well?
Number one, you're not present, and number two, you're not relevant. Talking about yourself constantly, talking about constantly your products, or maybe not even having understanding of how to use LinkedIn. You know, there are specific things for which LinkedIn was created, and if you want results, you're going to have to play the game by the game's rules, and you will have to educate yourself. So I listened today while I was working out. I was listening to your podcast with the previous guest, and you know, she was talking about how salespeople are responsible for educating themselves and really have to embed it into their daily routine. But my opinion is that I know so many salespeople who are so advanced in their understanding of social selling today, just from my recent work experience, you know, and they are so eager and so advanced, and their social selling index is 92, for example, but they're not getting results. Why? Because marketing does not supply them with good content, number one. Number two, social selling is not embedded in their performance evaluation metrics. So even though they're trying so hard, nobody cares on top, right? So social selling has to start top down, and it has to be adjusted up there and then pushed kind of down to all the people, right? Number three, there is no training in this organization. And I actually worked on some projects to put together training on social media best practices and things like that. But if there is no training and there are no metrics, don't go around asking your salespeople to put information out there, because it's going to be bad for your organization. People will start unfollowing, hiding, reporting spam. And if you, like, there is this mentality that I learned exists that, well, if I don't do anything, I'll just remain where I am. No, if you don't do anything, you're not going to stay where you are. You're going to be falling apart, behind. But if you do the wrong thing, you will be falling behind even faster.
Very, very, very true. Yeah, no, I think, well, we have, we had a conversation earlier today with some folks over at R Factor, and they've addressed that particular, that particular term with feeding, the marketing, feeding the sales organization with content, as well as then measuring those metrics. And they provide a really good solution that I strongly recommend any organization to take a look at, especially when you manage a large team, and getting disseminating content out to them can be a bit of a challenge. But I've also worked in sales organizations on the marketing side where it's constant all the time. I need a custom presentation for this client. I need a custom one for this. I need a custom one for that. Unfortunately, marketing can't just turn around content quite that quick. But this is where sales kind of has to pick up the ball and run with it and take the framework and actually build it out from there. So I'm not sure what your experience is with working with salespeople that actually go out and take what marketing has and adapt it to the unique situation that they're facing. But I mean, if you have those, you know, go ahead and share that.
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you kind of about the program that I recently worked on at this organization. They had 140 sales reps in North America. And, you know, I figured out that, you know, today, from just recent research by KRC, I know that companies' employees have 10 times more followers on social media than a brand itself, number one. Yeah. Number two, 80% of companies' employees are already on social media, and 7% of them are hyperactive, and they have a lot of social media influence, but they can either harm or promote the organization. And the other thing is that 70% more people today trust content that they see their friends and neighbors and colleagues share. So what does it say? It says that if your organization wants to build that trust, wants to be out there in a big way, you know, do the content amplification and get the message across in a more authentic manner, right? Then it has to get employees involved. And so that's called employee advocacy. There are some articles on my LinkedIn profile that I recently published. Personally, I worked with Dynamic Signal. It's a company that has a lot of tools for enterprise level employee advocacy programs. And so together we created a strategy and designed a hub. It's a web app or a mobile app, not or, it's actually and, but it's for whoever wants to use it in whatever way works for them. It can actually be also integrated with your Salesforce chatter. So if you don't want to log out and you want to use it from your desktop, use it there. Or if you want, you can use it on mobile app. And you fuel that hub with brand-approved content and allow your people to share it on their social networks, right? So number one, you make it about them. Number two, the cost of this program, well, personally for me with Dynamic Signal, was a fraction of PPC. Number three, you get so much more trust and leads who actually do know about your business and they do care because they get this information from their friends, right? But the biggest thing is that, like, for them, I developed a video training and interactive quiz that, first of all, before people ever get invited into the hub, teaches people about social media best practices, do's and don'ts, code of conduct, and things like that. Because, you know, don't give tools like this to your employees before you teach them, before you educate them. It's up to you to actually do it. I was able to recruit 50 brand ambassadors. We call them social ambassadors. And, you know, with tools like this, now people don't have a fear. I don't know if I want to share on social media because I don't know if it's good what I share, because now you're getting the content that's brand approved, right? But it wasn't just branded content. Brand approved doesn't mean just branded content. It was content also, you know, a lot of fun things. Some of the content types that were in our strategy were holiday messages, happy holidays, right? Also, I developed a program to teach our sales force how to publish articles on LinkedIn, quality articles, and then distribute it through the hub. Because what I realized is that the organization was unaware of how many people were already publishing stuff on LinkedIn, but not appropriate things and not in appropriate manner. And so I think it's up to organizations to teach and enable their teams to do well on social media, because they then can reap those results.
So when you say appropriate content, what do you what do they define as appropriate or inappropriate content?
Right. So when I talk about appropriate content is when you share content through LinkedIn publishing, don't put together three sentences promoting your recent event with a link to Eventbrite. Don't post a quote. Don't call it an article, and then people go there and there is a link to an ebook, and you say, download this ebook today. Mm-hmm. Don't post things, you know, start doing business with me. Here's my phone number. Here's my email, all in capital letters. This is inappropriate. I describe it as, okay, so if I had good intentions and I had a positive message toward you, but I got so passionate about it and I didn't know how to communicate it to you appropriately, I would just get in your face and I'll be jumping up and down and like saying, listen to me, listen to me. Would you actually care? You would not, right? So right. There are rules that need to be followed. If you want people to pay attention to you, if you want to establish that thought leadership, if you want to stay top of mind with people who follow you on LinkedIn, you must share content that makes sense. I mean, articles, 500, 600 words with headings where you don't yell at people with capital letters, right? With bullet points, paragraphs where you add value to your buyer persona, talking about something that's of interest to them. That's gotcha. What I'm
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And also not assuming everyone came with the same common sense into the organization, because we have such diversity of age in different groups. And people want to know what are the rules I can work in, and giving them guidelines and rules, but giving them enough that they can be flexible and creative inside of it. It's really important thing to operate on. I want to step back a minute to the LinkedIn Social Selling Index. And one question I thought of is, where do we think they might go next with this? Because is this an end product? Are they going to upgrade it? Will they provide more guidance before the gate? Because the gate would be now pay for, you know, on it. What will they do next? It's just something I was thinking of as we're talking about it.
Right. This is such a great question. And you know what I think? So number one, I think that Social Selling Index is not just for sales professionals, because I also teach LinkedIn at colleges and universities. And if you want to constantly stay top of mind for recruiters, I say you need to measure and manage your Social Selling Index, because it's the same thing. You're selling yourself, you're selling your product, you're selling your services, you're selling your nonprofit, your cause, whatever. So I don't think LinkedIn created and launched publicly Social Selling Index to just sell LinkedIn Sales Navigator. I don't believe so. However, I personally take a lot of courses on lynda.com, and I took courses on social selling and LinkedIn Sales Navigator recently. And I would say, you know, the team recently, the Salesforce I worked with, only one team had Salesforce LinkedIn Sales Navigator access, and they told me they didn't know how to use it. So I think, you know, LinkedIn Sales Navigator is an essential tool from what I just learned by taking course on it. And it allows you such a diverse variety of, you know, access to leads, which are accounts, right? Access to prospects, which are people, saving people, following them, variety of customized settings. But I also think you don't have to have LinkedIn Sales Navigator to be successful at social selling. Social selling is not just about LinkedIn. Social selling is about monitoring Twitter, creating Twitter lists, following hashtags, listening for your buyer personas, talking about their pain that you can solve, and engaging in a non-salesy way. It's about publishing long-form posts on Google+, tagging them properly with your keywords to be found. It's about creating Periscope videos, live demo for your products, variety of things you can do.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, there's a number of different tactics that we can definitely apply into social selling, and we certainly agree with you. You know, social selling goes way beyond LinkedIn, and actually, I think social selling was around probably prior to LinkedIn. So, in the sense where you could take and use the internet to gather the intelligence that you need in order to facilitate a better conversation. Now, I think that so one of the questions I had was around. Do you think that, in your opinion, from what you've seen in your past experience, do you think that the social selling, index score, can boost the morale of the sales team internally now that they have a metric that they can look at to understand how effective that they are with using LinkedIn? Do you think it'll boost morale a little bit?
I think it absolutely will if the metric is integrated in the how they are evaluated, because social, you know, the sales team, sales professionals are extremely busy and they have so much going on. Then, you know, they're constantly in meetings and it's all about every Monday morning, it's all about their pipeline, their activity, how many cold calls they made. And if that changes from top down again, and then they are not evaluated based on how many irrelevant calls they made to irrelevant people, but how many warm introductions they received on LinkedIn, how their social selling has four categories that we discussed in the beginning, and each of them is measured on a scale from 0 to 25 with 100 total, right? So if they're measured on building those relationships, getting those warm introductions, finding those leads, accounts, and prospects, individuals, if they're measured on all of that, it can significantly increase the morale, number one. Number two, promote collaboration within the team, because if they do use Sales Navigator, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, and they actually are signed up for enterprise level account with Team Link, now they're going to be working together toward the same big goal, leveraging common connections, not just I leverage my own, you leverage your own connections. So it's going to be a group effort toward the big organizational goal. And of course, they need to be rewarded for taking the steps. So if they're not rewarded, it will not promote good morale and it will not have a positive impact. If they are rewarded and it's embedded in how they are evaluated and assessed, absolutely.
Good. Well, I hope sales management takes a cue from that.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things you brought up about the social selling index that's important is using it beyond the sales situation. Because in our social media management class, we've had several people with college degrees that weren't able to land jobs. And really, most of our advice, along with taking our class, was get your LinkedIn profile so it's a customer facing profile, and start getting some content out there showing you have some competency, even if you don't have as much work experience. And that yielded employment. Now, some of them were entry level in their field, but I'll still call that a win. And many have then really done well. And so this could be an indicator of a way for them to look up and see what their own performance is. And I am trying to look in the crystal ball of, will LinkedIn add more value to this or stay on it? And if they do, I'm going to ask another question. If we were LinkedIn and we were taking the social selling index and we were looking for version 2.0 and it's at 1.0 now, what would we add to it? That's, I think, the next question I have.
Right. That is such a great question. Well, I would say that LinkedIn needs to measure consistency. So right now, social selling index is measured like on a daily, changes on a daily basis, right? So let's say if today I'm on vacation, then my social selling is going to go down. LinkedIn talks about four things. I wrote five things in my article for you guys. And the fifth thing was, if you remember, is build your workflows. Things that you're going to do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis to ensure that you are very consistent, right? So I would say if there was a social selling 2.0 version, it would definitely measure the consistency and probably not on a daily scale, because I think on a daily scale is not very accurate, because I mean, people go on vacations, people get pregnant, you know, people get sick and things like that. So,
oh, I think we lost you.
We lost her.
While we're waiting for you to come back, I don't know if you can hear us, but while you're waiting, we can't hear you. While we're waiting for you to come back, one of the things I just thought that LinkedIn could offer is a integration into Twitter and include that into the scoring system.
And bring in the score. Yeah, your activity
from your activity on Twitter. There we go. Are you back?
Sort of.
Yes, and I lost you for a minute.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
So if you're talking about measuring your activity on Twitter and things like that, there is a score that measures that, and that's Cloud.
Right.
Right. Well, no. Yeah. Yeah. What I was saying is if we were LinkedIn and we were responsible for the LinkedIn Social Selling Index, what would be the next things we'd add to it to move it from level one to level two for the customer? So you were mentioning some of the things you thought, and then I was adding to integrate Twitter into the scoring system and maybe integrate, and they might have to have this, you pay something to get the next level, and then integrate the interactions found in a specialized Google search. So that'd be two more tiers to it, because right now it's really scoring us only on the platform of LinkedIn. So if we had a scoring to go to the next level, I would say Twitter, and I would say Google. And then your point is
add Periscope there. Add Periscope there, please.
I'm sorry?
Add Periscope there, because sales teams can use Periscope to do live demos and embed and share then those demos, with prospects or maybe write articles about it. And Periscope allows live interaction on Twitter, so you can either even run a Periscope, right, and then create a blog post out of the questions you receive through live interaction on Twitter during your Periscope. So I would say, yeah, I agree with you, absolutely.
And the thing you want to do is, when you said consistency over time, is have an algorithm that has a dampered algorithm that's looking at the pattern over time and giving them that.
Yeah.
And so this really interesting conversation I hadn't thought of before the show is, if we were going to upgrade it, what would we add? And those would be anything you'd add if you were LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You were responsible as a product for this. Anything you would add, Greg?
Well, no, I think adding in other tools that we found that are effective with social selling, then we want to take and integrate those into the score, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. I think that...
And you mentioned Clout. Now, of course, I love Clout as a product. I just wanted to do a little bit better to notice the difference with somebody that just spends way too much time talking about their cereal and someone that's having a constructive conversation. I don't know how to do that, but I'd love to see Clout upgrade to a little bit more higher AI in discerning the quality of the conversation, not just the level of it. That's when I'm going to put more stock in Clout, because I can see someone that just spends all day on Facebook and someone who's actually lead generation with conversations will have the same Clout score. And nothing wrong with them spending all day on Facebook, but it's just because they have nowhere else to go.
I'll give you an example. Like, if I need to take and lift my Clout score, I share pictures of my kids.
Yeah, and that should not work.
That should no.
I mean, not that your kids aren't great.
Right. My kids all have like freedom. Right. Now, I think the fact that I can take and influence my Clout score using family pictures or other events and things like that doesn't help if you're looking at somebody from a holistic standpoint, sure, what does their business and personal life look like together? That's fine. But there's a lot of people that really do want to keep their business and their personal life separate. Mm-hmm. And Martin and I were talking about this morning, how there's you, and then there's you who works for your company, right? So, and keeping those brands somewhat separate is important. I really hope that what LinkedIn does with the LinkedIn Social Selling Index score is that they can integrate more of your business activity to show you how effective you are using social as a business tool, as a social selling tool.
Yes, it's a great idea. Absolutely.
Well, we're about at time, so we'd probably go on for the rest of the afternoon, but we know our listeners have other things to do too. So,
very much so.
So we'll hand it over to you.
Yeah. So, well, thank you very much for joining us. We're looking forward to your further contributions to the podcast, to the blog as well. We're gonna have to have you come back on too.
Yeah.
I think
we really need to talk about in our next conversation. We really need to talk about marketing, where marketing needs to work together with sales, and sales needs to work in collaboration with marketing to create those results that really matter. Because as long as marketing is not supporting sales team and does not do their needs assessment, social selling index and social selling, they're not going to work, because social selling ultimately is all about having quality content, having presence out there, and having consistent training. And that comes through marketing.
Well, this is, and I think that's a great one. And I wrote a little article called, "Are You Teaching Your People to Surf or Trying to Control the Ocean?" And it's about traditional marketing versus the current. And mm-hmm. It is much more complicated. It is moving from two-dimensional chess to Star Trek multi-dimensional yeah. chess. So I have compassion for the complexity of it, but it is the future we're moving that exists today, and we have to respond. Great idea for our next show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, well, again, Anna, thank you very much for joining us. And we look forward to having you back on in the future. But before we go, we have a couple social selling tips and a couple apps or maybe an app or two that we can suggest, at least a couple updates. So the first thing is LinkedIn Messenger messaging has been updating here recently, and there's a slight change to your workflow you're going to have to go through. And I'm going to have a video up on LinkedInToSales.com for you to check this out, as well as on YouTube. And basically, you need to keep in mind that as soon as you accept an invite now from somebody, that message that they had sent, whether it was a canned response or a customized message, it disappears. Where before, it used to just go into your archive, and you used to be able to go back to your archive and view it. Well, there is no more archive under the new messaging platform. Now, I've contacted LinkedIn about this, and they said, yes, this is a change, and we're going to send your feedback back to our engineers, which was kind of good to see. So keep in mind that now that there, you need to reply to that message prior to accepting the invite. And like I said, I'll go through this on a video separate from here so you can take a look at that. So there's a change of workflow around accepting
invites.
And
you may want to copy and paste and save that.
Correct. You may want to take and copy that message if they customize it and put it into your notes about that particular contact, because I'm serious, that message disappears. You don't get it back. It just it goes.
And then you go, how did we first interact?
Right.
Well,
so
that's good.
A couple episodes we had. So now let's talk about apps real quick. A couple episodes ago, we had talked with Mick Lernott of Sales Prodigy. And I just updated my app, and they now integrate with Nimble.
Yay!
Yeah, so now you can
take that's actually our favorite social CRM because we use it. It's the golden Rolodex.
That's right. And matter of fact, if you're not using Nimble, we strongly recommend you do go check it out. At least do the 2-week trial and give it a spin. You may try it out for a couple months as well. It's like $15 a month. You should definitely try it out. There's some really great, cool features like group messaging and messaging templates and tracking and stuff like that. Tools great for the sales professional. But the integration between Sales Prodigy and Nimble is very nice, because what it will do is it'll look at your Sales Prodigy will look at your contacts that are in Nimble, the email addresses, and if they can identify, I believe this is how it works, but if they can identify any of those contacts that have been tweeting or saying anything in the social realm, then they'll surface those updates based on those keywords that you are following already on Nimble. On Sales Prodigy. So I would recommend go check out Sales Prodigy and download that and try it out on your mobile device. They are a mobile only device. You should have a Twitter account as well or an Instagram account, so that way you could tie those in. But definitely check those out. So we'll have some more apps and suggestions, unless you have anything, Martin?
No, except, there's been some concern with Evernote, and I'm still, my life is in Evernote, and some are concerned with some downsizing they're doing, so pay attention, but I actually still see it as a viable tool that's invaluable to me.
There's been a couple articles that have been written out there that Evernote might be the first unicorn to die in the Silicon Valley.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be the first one.
I'm cheering them on. I still think it has value.
But
if
you're using Evernote and you have questions about how to export your content out of Evernote because you're freaking out and you need it in Google Drive or something like that, send us a message, and I'll show you how I exported all of my stuff out of Evernote. And
at least as a backup.
I exported it out.
I'm still using it.
So
anyway, great.
But anyways, yes, very good. Thank you very much.
It was great having you on the show. We'll get you back. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. You're awesome.
And do look forward to maybe all having lunch sometime in the Triangle area.
I will come to North Carolina in no time. Just invite me.
Okay. All right. We'll definitely put it on there. So take good care.
All right.
All right. Bye.
All right, everybody, you've been watching or listening to the Linking into Sales Social Selling Podcast. Be sure to take and subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, If you got any comments or suggestions about the show, please, you know, leave comments, leave a rating for us, help other people find us on LinkedIn. As you heard from Anna, we have, you know, as soon as she heard it, she's like, she loves it. So this is a great endorsement from her. We know that people up in the high towers of those big, large software as a service companies and software companies are listening to us. And if you are, recommend us to your sales team. And if you have any questions or comments or want to hear something about the show, send us an email. Reach us at info@linkingintosales.com. Martin and I will both get that message, and we are happy to respond to you.
Yep, this is Martin Brossman.
And Greg Heyer. And thank you very much, and you have a great day.